start recording. Okay, so let's start again at the two dots in Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hayoresh Somech, that if someone inherits a carbon, he can lean on it now. The son inherited his father's carbon, the son can lean on it. So, because the father passed away. Tani Rav Chananya, Kameh de Rava, Rav Chananya taught a brayso in front of Rava, Yoresh Eino Somech, the child does not have the ability to lean. And Yoresh Eino Meimer, a child who inherits a carbon does not have the ability to do tmura, to try to swap the carbon, and then, because of this attempted swap, cause both animals to become holy. Is that so? Asks the Gemara. Va'anad Tznam, but didn't we learn in a Mishnah? Hayoresh Somech, an heir, an inheritor, a child who inherits a carbon does lean. Umevias Nesachav, and he brings the wine and get together with the carbon, plus Umeimer. And if he does tmura, the tmura took effect. So our Mishnah is against this brisa that Rav Chananya taught in front of Rava. Amarlei, so Rav Chananya said, one second, Ipchai, maybe I should reverse the brisa. Maybe I should say that Hayoresh is Somech and Hayoresh is Meimer, like our Mishnah. I should reorient the version. I should say that in a son who inherits has the ability to do tmura, and he does, in fact, lean on it. Amarlei, so he said to him, Lo, you don't need to flip it. Because Masnisin Mani Reb Yehuda, I could tell you that this brisa that you quoted is a view of Reb Yehuda, meaning the law of the Mishnah, that a child who inherits from his father a carbon can lean on the carbon as if he's the father, is really a machlokas. It's really an argument amongst the Tanaim. The Tanaim went in a brisa. Yoresh Somech. One who inherits, a son who inherits, he can lean on the carbon. Yoresh, one who inherits, Meimer, he has the ability, if he says that he's swapping it for something else, both become holy. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yoresh, Eino Somech, one who inherits, does not have the ability to lean on the carbon. Yoresh, if he inherited the carbon, Eino Meimer, he doesn't have the ability to swap it and thereby make both holy.
What happens if he has no son? So he has a daughter.
So she would also inherit.
So she would come to Beit HaMikdash and do this?
But we are going to see daughters are not supposed to do smicha. Women don't do smicha. Only men do smicha. But we learned back in Chagiga that we wouldn't stop them if they did it. They're not supposed to, but we wouldn't stop them if they did it.
So what, she would make a shliach, another cousin or something, to do it for her?
No, we can't have a shliach for smicha. Only the owner can do it. We couldn't do smicha.
So, then probably
no Kohen, leaning on Kohen, it. There'd be no leaning on it.
It's for modesty reasons.
I think so.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
And I think this issue will be rushed. How can you be Yoresh? I'm sorry. That's already was Hagedesh.
Yes.
If it's a Kedesh, it cannot be Yoresh. It was right. Belonged to his father even.
Right. I once heard a nice thought from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein of Blessed Memory in the name of Rav Beryl Schwartzman, who was the son-in-law of Rav Aaron Cutler. So he said that there are two ways to understand Yerusha. One way to understand inheritance is that there's a transfer, that the father owns it. When he dies, Hashem makes the property move to the son. But there's another way to understand inheritance, not that there's a transfer, but that since a son is from the father, when the father dies, the son now is the father. The son moved up to have the status of the father. We have the phrase bra kara davua, the child is the extension of the father. So he said that these Gemaros are referring only to a son. They wouldn't be referring to a brother or other heirs. And because a son, since bra kara davua, the son is the extension of the father, the son is the father. So you don't need to transfer property. It's the son who's now the father. That's what the son can do, what the father used to do, which is to answer that question.
The Bechor son.
Any son. If there's only a son.
Usually the Bechor is the
son, certainly the Bechor.
More than the second or third, right?
He would come first, yes. Uh-huh. He has the first right. So now the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Answer the Gemara, it's this pasuk that we've been quoting before, Karbano, his karban, that's what it says about Shlamim, he will lean on his karban, that's to say, below karban aviv, and he doesn't lean on his father's karban. So now, Once we're saying he doesn't lean on his father's carbon. V'yalef tchilas hektesh. Now Rabbi Yehuda derives the very beginning of consecration, namely tzmuras. When you attempt to swap an animal for that which is holy, both become whole, both are holy now. What you attempted to swap becomes holy. So that's tchilas hektesh. That's the beginning of consecration. He learns that misof hektesh, from this, from the leaning, which is the very end of what is done to a consecrated animal. So masof hektesh yoresh eino somech. Now that he's saying that at the end of the consecration, the heir, the son, does not get to lean on it because of the verse. It says karbano velo aviv. He leans on his karban, not his father's karban. Avtchilas hektesh. So the same is true also in terms of beginning consecration, in terms of tzmura. Yoresh eino meimer. The son does not create the tzmura status. Only the father could. Now, the Rabbanan, they disagree. So what's their source? For Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, they disagree with Yehuda. They say that since the verse says, Hamer Yamir, it repeats it. He shall do tzmura. That's the Rabba says Hayorish. That's to say that even an heir, even a son who's inheriting, can do tzmura. So once a son can do tzmura, the Aleph Sof Hekdesh Mitchilas Hekdesh, we say if the son can begin holiness by doing tzmura, at the very end of the holiness, the son also can be the one doing it, and the son who inherits can do the final step of the consecration. He can do the smicha, matchilas hektesh, just like at the beginning of the consecration, namely tzmura, yoresh. The son can do it, meimer, afsof hektesh. So to what's done at the end of the holiness, namely the leaning, yoresh, somech. The one who inherits can lean. V'rabbanan. So now, the Rabbanan who say in our Mishnah and in this Braisa that a son can do tzmura, that a son can lean. Hi, karbano, my abdile. What are they going to do with the word that says karbano, his karban, implying that only the father, the one who made it holy, can do the leaning, but not anybody else? So they'll tell you, they'll answer the Gemara, karbano. His karban gets leaning, velo karbano of de kochavim, and not the karban of a non-Jew. Karban, no, his karban gets leaning, velo karban chaviero, he doesn't lean on his friend's karban. That's the point, Baruch, that you can't make a shliach for leaning, you can't lean on your friend's karban. Karban, no, his karban, the rabbos call bale karban l'smicha. In fact, it says karban, no, that's to say that all the owners of the karban need to do smicha. Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbis call bale karban l'smicha lesle. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that. So right, Rabbi Yehuda, how is he going to learn these things? So the answer is, the rabbis call bale karban l'smicha lesle. Maybe he doesn't hold that when you have five partners that each need to do smicha. If there are five partners bringing the shlamim, he holds one can do it for all of them. And you don't need to have all five doing it, so he doesn't need the word karbano for that. So therefore he has the word karbano extra to say karbano, he does smicha, but not on his father's karban. Inami islin, even if you're going to say Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you have five partners in a shlamim, they all need to do smicha one after the other, still, nevertheless, over kochav mechaver michad kranafka, he learns the word karbano, he does smicha on his karban, saying on the Jew does smicha on his karban, that's to say his karban and not the karban of a non-Jew, because that's not his karban, nor the karban of his friend, because that's not his karban. So those two derivations are from the same word, and therefore Aisur lehu trei krai. So what's left for him are two psukim. Chad, one is for karbano velo karban aviv. He does leaning on his karban, but not on the karban of his father. The idach, and the other one is lerabos kovale karban lesmicha. Is to say that when you have multiple partners, each one needs to do smicha. Okay. Reb Yehuda then learns tmura from smicha. He says, we learn tchilas hektesh tmura from smicha, sof hektesh. Reb Yehuda, hai hamer yamir, my avidle. What does Reb Yehuda do with the word hamer yamir? So we said it's to include a son for tmura. What does Reb Yehuda do with it? He needs it, the rabba says ha'isha, to say that a woman who does tzmura, there is the status of tzmura. The Tanya we learned in a braisa. So if a woman makes a carbon and then she tries to do tzmura, both become holy. And she gets lashes for the avera of tzmura. The Tanya is we learned in a braisa lefisha called inyan kulo ina medaber lebalashon zachar. The entire section about tzmura, all those psukim talk about the male tense. Lo yachli fenu, lo yamir oso. Doesn't say lo tachli fenu. So why does it all talk about in the male tense? So say like this, maso fenu. The rabbi says to isha. Tamalomar hamer yamir. So how do we know that here at the end of the kedusha? How do we know that at the end, ultimately, we do include the woman? That's why it says Hamer Yamir. For Rabbanan, who use Hamer Yamir to say that an inheritor can do Tzmura. How do they know that a woman can do Tzmura? They learn it from the Vav that's in front of the word V'im. V'im, Hamer Yamir, in front of the word Im, you have a Vav. V'im, so the Vav is that the woman can also do Tzmura. To include a woman. Rabbi Yehuda ve'im lo darish.
Another male or another female gives her the life.
I think it would be a female. I don't remember. We learned it in Maseches Makos, but I think it would be a female.
So what is the position of that woman that gives the lashes? It's not a part of the
I'm not sure. Maybe it's a man. I don't know.
Why would anyone try to do
Why would anyone try to do tzmura?
What do you gain by doing tzmura?
I think it's probably born of ignorance, right? They think that they could. Yeah. You know, I think. Right. Right. You know, I think that a lot of kachin are really symbolic of things. Right. So I think like the idea of smicha is symbolic that the animal sort of takes my place. I'm putting all of my strength here. This animal is dying instead of me. And maybe the fact that there's such a discussion about tzmura is that many times in life, people take things that are not holy and try to make them holy. They try to swap holiness for some other thing. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, there was this whole talk during President Bush's term about the importance of everybody having democracy. Natan Sharansky wrote a book, The Case for Democracy, was given an award, a medal, the Congressional Medal of Honor. So then when you had the riots against Mubarak, people said, oh, this is great, this is democracy. It wasn't great. You got the Muslim Brotherhood. So democracy is not always a great thing. Democracy doesn't always... But when you tell that to the people who are fans of democracy, it's like... It's like you're telling a believer in God that you don't believe in the Torah. You know, it's like they have a new faith. Their faith is democracy. So that's sort of the tzmura. The tzmura is the swapping of holiness for other things. And that's a big topic.
Because
it's true. It becomes holy. But you get lashes. No. You do get lashes.
But democracy...
I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work, my explanation. Maybe, you know, the other idea is that maybe tzmura is sort of a punishment. Here, if people are going to be able to swap, so they're going to try to shortchange Hektesh. Say, okay, I'm going to give Hektesh something cheaper, I'll get this out. So they have to be punished.
How many times they have to beat it on them?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened too often, that's true.
Rabbi, democracy and Quran, they don't go together. They're like fire and...
All right, next Mishnah. Again, dealing with the laws of leaning. Hakol somchim. Anyone who brings a karban needs to lean on it. Chutz, with the following exceptions. Cheresh, a deaf mute, someone who both doesn't hear nor does he speak. Shota, a person who is imbecilic, you know, really very, very irresponsible. As we learned in Chagiga, he tears the garments that are given to him. He goes to sleep in graveyards. He's a shota. And a katan, a minor. Who else doesn't lean? Suma, someone who's blind. Oved kochavim, a Gentile. V'ha'eved, a slave, a non-Jewish slave. V'ha'shaliach, or an emissary. V'ha'isha, and a woman. They do not lean. U'smicha shiyare mitzvah. Leaning on a karban, it is a mitzvah, but it's not a requirement.
Not
you could get kapara without it. Mm-hmm. It's the leftovers of a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Now, how is it done? Ala rosh, you lean on the head of the karban. b'shnei yadayim, with both hands. Uvamakam shasom chinshochten. Where you do the leaning, that's where you do the slaughtering. As the Gemara is going to explain, shetekef l'smicha shchita, because immediately after the leaning, you need to do the slaughtering. So, you know, let's say the Ola, as we learned, had to be in the northern part of the Azara, to the north of the Mizbeach. So you'd lean on it in the north of the Mizbeach and then slaughter it right away. You couldn't lean on it in the south of the Mizbeach and then go tink it to the north to slaughter, because then it wouldn't be tekef l'smicha shchita. It wouldn't be that right after the leaning, you would have a slaughter. Says the Gemara, I understand why a deaf mute, a imbecile, a child don't do leaning. It's a lav b'nei de'a ninu. They don't have obligations. They don't have responsibilities. Non-Jews also can't do it because the Torah begins the mitzvah of smicha by saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'samach yadol rosh ha'olah, speak to the children of Israel. So that's telling you, b'nei Yisrael somchim v'nei ovdei kochavim somchim. Children of Israel do the leaning, but not non-Jews. El asuma my time alof. But why is a blind person not to do leaning? Answer the Gemara of Chizda and Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi answered. Chad Amar once said, Asya smicha smicha mizikne eda. Once said it's a derivation from the par helam davar shal tzibur. The pasuk says about the par helam davar shal tzibur. Samchu zikne ha eda asy dehem al rosh hapar. And the Zikni Eda can't be blind, because the Torah says that when Hashem had Moshe appoint the first Sanhedrin, Hashem told Moshe, "V'nasu itcha b'masah ha'am," and they will carry with you the burden of the nation. So they have to be equal to you, just like you don't have blemishes, they can't have blemishes. So a blind person is not on the Sanhedrin. So when the Sanhedrin are leaning on the par helam davar shel tzibur, on the bull brought, because they had given the wrong ruling, and the nation followed the wrong ruling, so there it's not done by someone who's blind. So too, just like the paralim davar shel tzibur can't be done by someone who's blind, so too every karban can't be leaned on by someone who's blind. The chad amar, the other source is asya smicha smicha mi olas re'ia. We learn out of gzeira shava again, smicha smicha from olas re'ia. That in regards to olas re'ia, you can't have a blind person, because a blind person's not obligated in olas re'ia. He doesn't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, he's not included. The olas re'ia is not being leaned on by the blind, and therefore all karbanos also are not leaned on by the blind.
But if he wants, he could.
He can go, but he doesn't have to bring an olas re'ia. So now, ulamanza amar me olas re'ia. So now the Gemara says, my time will yell means zikne ha'eda. If you're going to learn from the Sanhedrin, I'm sorry, if you're going to learn from Olas Re'ia, why don't you learn from the Sanhedrin, from Parlam Dover Shel Tzibor? So you'll tell you like this, starting now outside the Gimel Amid Beis. Danin! Oh, we lost the connection.
Ricky,
we lost the connection with the Niva.
Ricky, my love, that's a deep.
Ricky, you want another juice?
Yes.
The book that the Rav Kook wrote, wasn't that Olat Re'ia also?
Yeah, it's a commentary to the Sidur. Yeah, Olat Re'ia. He used that.
Connection?
Yeah, because his name was Avraham Yitzchak. So his students would call him Re'ia, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen. So Olat Re'ia was because the Sidur is prayer, and prayer is like a korban. So they took his commentaries to the Sidur, they called it Olat Re'ia, the Ola of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen. So again, why would we prefer to learn the fact that a blind person can't do smicha from Olat Re'ia than learning it from Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur? Dan and Yachid Mi Yachid, we want to derive an individual's karban from an individual's sacrifice. Vein Dan and Yachid Mi Tzibur, we don't want to derive an individual sacrifice, namely smicha, a regular sacrifice, from a communal sacrifice, the bull brought when the nation listened to the wrong ruling of the court is a communal sacrifice. We don't want to learn an individual sacrifice from a communal sacrifice.
These are the only two places where it says you should lean to samach. Those two cases?
In fact, with Olos Riyah, it doesn't even say the word v'samach. It says you do it kamishpat. It says in regards to Ola v'samach. But since it says kamishpat, like the Ola, and the Ola says v'samach, that's how Olos Riyah also says v'samach.
So the regular Ola says v'samach?
Yeah.
So why is it
parahel
Ola? Why is it just an Ola?
No, because a regular Ola, in theory, a blind person could be bringing it. You want to say, how do we know that a blind person doesn't lean? Because since in Olas Re'iyah, a blind person doesn't lean because a blind person doesn't bring an Olas Re'iyah. So therefore, in a regular carbon also, a blind person doesn't lean, even though he can bring the carbon. So now the Gemara says, "Lamanza diyalef mizikne eid." Another one who learns from parhelam davar shel tzibur, from the sacrifice brought by the nation, the sacrifice brought by the court when the nation followed the wrong ruling of the court. My time alo yalef miolas riya. Why doesn't he derive from the carbon brought on Yom Tov? The answer is done immediately d'ksiv beismicha begufei. Immediately d'ksiv beismicha begufei. He'd rather derive from where the word smicha is actually written explicitly. Afuki olas riya. And he doesn't want to derive from Olas Re'iyah, that he grew from the Olas Nadava Gemura, because there itself it doesn't say about Olas Re'iyah the word Smicha, it's actually derived from the regular Ola.
The regular
Ola
says
the
Samach, and the regular Ola a blind person can bring.
Correct.
So why don't we just learn it from a regular Ola? Why are we going to Olas Re'iyah?
No, then you would say that a blind person could bring.
Yeah.
But we want to say that a blind person cannot bring, because in Olas Re'iyah he can't bring. The Tani Tana Kamedri of Yitzchak Bar Abba. As the Tana taught in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, Vayakriv es ha'ola v'yaseh ha'kamishpat, he brought the ola v'yaseh ha'kamishpat, he should do it as its law, kamishpat olas nadava, that's to say, like the law of an ola which is donated, limin el olas chova, that teaches you about an ola which is an obligation, shatun esmicha, needs leaning, just like a donated ola needs leaning. The Mishnah says, all sorts of people don't do leaning. Ha'eved, a slave, ha'shaliach, an emissary, ha'isha, a woman. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, what's the source for these things? The Torah says, Yado, his hand. So therefore, it says it three times in regards to Shlamim. Yado, his hand, velo yad abdo, not the hand of his slave. Yado, his land, velo yad shlucho, not the hand of his emissary. Yado, his hand, velo yad ishto, not the hand of his wife. Kolhani lamli, why do we need to keep repeating this? Mm-hmm. And so the Gemara, Tzricha, we need all of these lessons. Because of Rahman Achadif, Hashem would have only said one Yado. So it's his hand, not the hand of a slave, and a slave not, because a slave doesn't have all of the mitzvot. But an emissary who has all the mitzvot that you have, he's your emissary. Plus, the fact that he's your emissary makes him like you. I might have thought that an emissary could do the leaning. If would have taught you these two, an emissary can't do the leaning, and a slave can't do the leaning. I would say the lav gufei damia, because they're not like himself. Aval ishto de kagufe damya, but his wife, a wife is like himself, ishto kagufo. So ematismoch, maybe she should be able to do the leaning. That's why you need to have three times the word yado to exclude wife, emissary, and slave. Tzricha, that's why I needed all three.
What happens if he's physically sick and he cannot attend for this korban? So they do the korban without leaning because he cannot be there physically?
Okay, good. Let's see the next line. Yeah.
Smicha
is shiyare mitzvah. Smicha, the leaning, is what we call the leftovers of a mitzvah, or the addendums to a mitzvah. Tan Rabbanan lived in a braisa. The verse says, "V'samach yado al rosh ola." He's going to lean his hand on the head of the ola. V'nirtzalo v'chaper olav, and it'll be accepted for him to create atonement for him. One second, v'chi smicha v'chaperes. Is the leaning what's creating the atonement? Hello, in kapar el bedam. The atonement is through the throwing of the blood. Shenam, as the verse says, ki adam hu banefesh yichaper. Through the blood, there's the life, and that's what's creating the atonement. Ela lo melacha, but it's to tell you like this. Sheim asal esmicha shiyare mitzvah. Let's say he turns the leaning into the leftovers of a mitzvah. He doesn't actually do the leaning. Malo levakos of kilu lo kiper. It's as if he didn't get atonement. But the keeper, but he did get atonement. It's as if he didn't get atonement, but he did get atonement. In other words, he didn't get the mitzvah min amuvchar, he didn't get the ideal mitzvah, but he did get atonement. He did get some level of mitzvah. In other words, the way I understand it, is leaning makes it a better karban. It's not that leaning is a separate mitzvah. Meaning is a better mitzvah of karban. And so sort of within karban, there are two levels. There's like basic level, and then there's better form of karban. So the better form of the mitzvah of karban would be with leaning. But without it, you still fulfill your obligation. V'tanya gabe tznufa ki hai gavan. We have the same type of thing in regards to the mitzvah of waving. Let's say the verse says, V'lakach keves echad asham l'tznufa l'chaper alav. Take a sheep for waving. V'chi tznufa m'chaperas. Is the tznufa that's creating the tznufa l'chaper, is the tznufa creating the kapara. Hello, in kapara l'bedam. In an asham, like in everything else, the kapara is through the blood. Sh'nema ki adamu b'nefesh y'chaper. But why does it say that the letznufa lechaper? To tell you, shemasal letznufa shiyari mitzvah. And if he treats the tznufa as the leftovers of a mitzvah, that he doesn't do the tznufa actually. Malal v'akasav ki lo kaper. On the one hand, the verse considers it as if he didn't get atonement, so he didn't get the ideal. On the other hand, v'chiper, he did get atonement. He did get the basic level. All right, the Mishnah then said, how do you do the leaning on the head with both hands? Ala Rosh, on the head. Tana Rabbanu looked at a braisa. The verse says, V'samach yado al Rosh ha'ola. Since it says yado al ha'rosh, it's to say his hand on the head, v'lo yado al ha'tzavar, but not his hand on the neck. Yado al ha'rosh, his hand on the head, v'lo yado al ha'gabayim, not on the back. Yado al ha'rosh, his hand on the head, v'lo yado al ha'chazeh, not his hand on the chest.
Why do you have to say that?
So, Kolhani Lamali. So, why do you have to have three times again and again repeating this point? Can't we just say, since the verse says Al Arosh, it's Al Arosh, not anything else? So, Gemara said, Tzricha, we need all these derivations. Because of Rahman, if Hashem would have only said Chad one time, Lim'utei Tzavar, would have said, when he says the head, it means not the neck. Because the neck, where you shecht over here, is not the same thing as the head. It's not together with the head. But the back, which is the same level as the head of an animal, right? An animal's bent over.
Yeah.
The back and the head are all the same. They're on the level plane. So then I would thought, aim a low. If you lean on the back, it's like leaning on the head. I need another pasuk to say that you can't lean on the back. If I have a pasuk that you can't lean on the neck and you can't lean on the back, because I would say, because in those parts of the animal, there's never any waving. But the chest, which is waved, aim a low. So then I might think that there's a difference. The chest, which is waved, therefore, you could have, in fact, leaning on it. That's why I needed all of these sources. All righty, Bailu, that a question in the yeshiva about this law of leaning. Yado al hatzadin. Let's say the hand is on the sides of the head, at the cheek of the animal. Is that called leaning? Mahu, is that good for smicha? Says the Gemara Tashma, coming to your proof. The time of the Braisa. Abba Bira, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Abba Bira, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, teaches. Yado al rosho. His hand has to be put on the head of the animal. The lo yado al hatzadin, not his hand on the sides of the animal, namely the cheeks. Boy, Rabbi Yirmi asked the following question. Matlis, what happens if he wraps his hand in a towel? Is there a concept of chatzitza in leaning? Ma'ushatachit, is that going to be a barrier? And if he has the hand in a towel on the animal, it would be no good. Tashma Kamani, your proof. The verse says, yeah, no. It's Braisa. Rice is talking about Aaron HaKohen's leaning on his bull. As long as there can't be anything as a barrier between him and the sacrifice. So you see that there is a concept of barrier in sacrifices.
So in the leaning. Of animal doesn't count as a barrier?
Correct. Right? That's still the animal.
That's still it. So why they don't say in one sentence, put the hands at where the brain is, and that's it. No sign, no just where the brain of the animal is, but then, you know.
Yeah.
And make the book thinner than the figure.
So the Rambam did that. Baruch, the Rambam does that. And I think that's part of the beauty of the Gemara, is the back and forth and the challenge and, you know, making mistakes and trying to get to the clarity. It requires much more investment of study, and I think the investment connects you to the material more, whereas You know, when you just have lists of rules, easy in, easy out. It comes in, but it also goes out pretty easily. But when you invest a lot of effort to understand and to review and to go again and again and again, you know, I also think in terms of memorization, you know, the way memory works is that, you know, you know, one thing leads to the next. You associate things with other things. Right. So when you have, you know, a flow of conversation, so, okay, you have one line, and okay, that connects me to the next line, which reminds me of the next line. It's much better for memorization, whereas lists of rules, it's very hard to memorize them. Maybe you will, but then they'll go right out, you know, what's one thing to the next.
So ring of the Kohen will be chutzetz in this case.
Yeah. All right, then the Mishnah says, the owner leans with both hands. You know, immediately, how do we know this? Amar Yishlak Rosh Lakish Hansa Damar Kod, the Pasuk says, in regards to leaning on the Sayer, La Azazel, the Samach Aaron Eshtei Yadav, and Aaron will lean his two hands. Ksiv Yadav, now it's written Yadav without a Yud, so you could have read it as Yado, Ksiv Shtei, but it says two, so obviously it's two. So Zebana Av, that's to teach you, the Kol Makom Shenamar Yado, wherever it says Yado, Harei Kanstein, it means with both hands. Unless the Torah says Yado Achas, then it would mean only one hand. All right, a story.
Someone missing an arm, he cannot do so.
He wouldn't be able to do it, no. Azal Rebbe Lazar went, he said over this lesson in the Beis Medrash, but below Amr Mishmed Reish Lakish, he didn't quote it in the name of Reish Lakish. Sham Reish Lakish heard, but he was upset. He said, why aren't you quoting it in my name? Amar Leis, Reish Lakish said to Rebbe Lazar, Isalka Daitach, Kolecha Dechsiv Yado, Tartinin Hu, see if you're going to say that based on the fact that it says Shtei Yadav, without a Yud, and the word Yadav, therefore wherever it says Yado, it means both hands. So Lamali Lamichtav, Yadav, Yadav, so why does the Torah ever put a Yud in to mean hands? So Akshile Me'esrin V'arpa Yadav. Esther va'arba yadav. So Reish Lakish challenged Rebbe Lazar from the 24 times in the Torah that it says yadav, like yadav tivi'ena, or yadav rav lo, or sikel es yadav. It should always say without the yud. Hashem should have written without the yud, because we know from shtei yadav that even without the yud it means two hands.
So Reish Lakish is now bringing a proof against his own idea that Rebbe Lazar had quoted without attributing to him.
Yeah, correct. So his point is that you if you quote without attributing to me, you're not going to get it right. You're not going to understand it. So Ishtik, so Belazar was quiet. Avasa denach daite, once Reish Lakish calmed down, he was no longer upset. Amarle, so Belazar, he said to Rebbe Lazar, my time alotemeli, why don't you give me the answer? Which is like this. Yadav tesmicha ka'amri. What I was saying is shtei yadav means both hands. And there's no yud between the dalet and the vav of yadav. So whenever it says yado, it also means both hands. That's in reference to smicha, because that's in regards to smicha. The smicha nami ksiv. In regards to smicha, it says, vayismoch es yadav alav vayitzavehu. And he leaned his hands on him, and he commanded him. So one second. It's the smicha kind. I'm just talking about smicha. So the Gemara said, one second. But in regards to when Moshe leans his hands on Yoshua, it says vayismoch es yadav alav. It says he leaned his hands, yadav, both hands with the yud, and there it's smicha. Why was there a need to put in the yud? Because whenever there's smicha with yado, it also means two hands. And so the Gemara smicha de behema kami. No, Reish Lakish's point was that wherever there is smicha of an animal with the word yado, it means two hands, just like shtei yadav, which is written yado in regards to the leaning on the sari mishtaleach is both hands, but in regards to the smicha of a person, when Moshe leans on Yoshua, so there it's not necessarily going to mean two hands. That's why the Torah had to write the extra yud to show me that it means two hands. Okay, and the Mishnah says, v'makom shesom chim shochtin, where they do the smicha, that spot of the azar, that's where they do the shechita, they do the slaughter, because tekef l'shechita, the smicha shchita, right after the leaning, you have to do the slaughtering. My comment, what is the Mishnah trying to say? Achkam is what it's trying to say. Makom shesom chin shochtin, where they do the leaning, that's where they do the slaughtering, because shetekef l'smicha shchita, because slaughtering is supposed to follow immediately with the leaning. So where we do the leaning, that's where we do the slaughtering. Mishnah, chomer b'smicha mi b'tnufa. There are aspects of leaning that are stricter than waving. There are aspects of waving that are stricter than leaning. In regards to waving, one can wave for everyone, for all of his friends. In regards to leaning, we said that you need to have each partner do a separate leaning. But then there's a stringency to the waving. Waving applies to individuals' karbanos as well as to communal karbanos. Waving applies to living animals and dead animals. It applies to something which has life in it, like kibsi atzeres, and things that don't have life, like the chazev shok. Unlike the meaning, which only applies to a living animal, and it doesn't apply to all karbanos.